The opposing armies faced each other across the field of battle, muskets oiled, swords polished, pikes balanced precariously over shoulders. Drummers beat out a steady rhythm, threatening and hypnotic. From their elevated position on horseback, the cavalry cut dashing figures in their buff coats, each rider armed with a broadsword and a pair of pistols. The horses stamped their hooves and whinnied. Banners and flags rippled in the hot summer breeze. In the glare of the sun, Detective Constable Tony Bairstow was sweating beneath his steel helmet, despite the thick padding that kept the hot metal from his head. His knee-length breeches and regulation red coat weren't making him any more comfortable either. "Plumie neck," he muttered to himself. "It's a scorcher today." He was reminded of his days as a uniformed constable when he'd joined the police as a raw 18-year-old. Back then, he'd patrolled Scarborough's streets and dealt with late-night drunks on the foreshore. Now that he was in CID, he didn't wear a uniform. He rarely left the police station, spending most of his time in front of a computer, watching CCTV footage, cataloguing forensic evidence, and carrying out background checks on persons of interest to an inquiry. It struck him as ironic that these days he only wore a uniform on his days off, such as today. Tony belonged to an English Civil War reenactment society and spent his weekends fighting for Parliament against Royalist forces. He was part of the infantry, or the foot as they were commonly known, the lowliest of soldiers. When he had first joined the society, he had been armed with a pike, an unwieldy 16-foot steel-tipped shaft used to keep the opposing cavalry at bay. These days, he carried a musket. He supposed it was a promotion of sorts. Tony had never told anyone at work what he did in his spare time. Not that he thought people would laugh at him, but it had just never come up in conversation. Other people seemed to do more normal things with their weekends, and Tony was reluctant to volunteer the information that he was a roundhead. His boss, Detective Chief Inspector Raven, wasn't the sort to poke his nose into other people's private lives, and his female colleagues, DS Becca Shawcross and DC Jess Barraclough, had never inquired. Perhaps they imagined he did nothing during his days off. So Tony had never told them that away from the police station, he had killed or been killed a dozen times on the field of battle. Since he always returned to work on Monday mornings right as rain, no one was any the wiser. Today's reenactment was taking place at Scarborough Castle, on top of the wide headland that jutted out into the sea, dividing the north and south bays. The ruined castle was a fitting setting, having been destroyed in the real Civil War after changing sides numerous times. The castle watched over the battlefield, only its outer walls and crumbling keep remaining. Grey stone against a clear blue sky. Gulls screeched as they swooped and circled overhead. The event, on a Sunday afternoon in August, had been advertised as fun for all the family. The promise of the spectacle of battle combined with the gloriously sunny weather had drawn massive crowds of locals and holidaymakers. The ice cream van outside the master gunner's house was doing a roaring trade. The foot soldier next to Tony nudged his arm.
"Reckon we'll be on the telly tonight, mate."
Joel Black, who was in charge of the weaponry, pointed his musket in the direction of a white van marked with the black BBC logo. Tony looked to where Joel was pointing and saw Liz Larkin, the BBC Look North presenter, conducting an interview with Wendy Knox, the stable owner who supplied the horses for the reenactments. Wendy was holding the reins of a beautiful black stallion, stroking its forehead. The animal stood nearly 18 hands tall, or 6 feet, in units that people less familiar with Civil War terminology would recognise. It tossed its huge head, jerking its reins, and whinnied. Liz stepped back, putting more distance between herself and the huge animal, holding her microphone at arm's length. Tony didn't blame her. Both the horse and its rider could be quite intimidating at close quarters.